It's funny, the shit I put on the song ain't gonna sound nothing like the shit we just did. Yeah, I just been bad as some bitches to the baddie. Bad as some money on the dime. I don't need no molly to be savage. When I'm on that molly, I feel savage. She the definition of a bad bitch. Stole her. I'm the definition of a bandit. I don't need no molly to be savage. But when I'm on the molly, I feel savage. Ain't my girl the definition of a bad bitch. Stole her heart. I'm the definition of a bandit. Put the perks down and picked up the jiggers. Tommy in the fucking Tommy Hill, figure. And Tommy hit a nigga, Tommy Hill, figure, fuck nigga. I'm nice when I'm high off the pills. I'ma fuck with her. I don't smoke skunk, but tonight I'm getting stuck, nigga. Pull the codeine up and put some molly in a cup with it. I know she a freak, she gon' fuck with it. She my Velcro, guess I'm stuck with her. I dive in it like a sailor, I love to nail her. Addicted to her paraphernalia, I had to tell her. I see it like a fortune teller. Yo ex nigga did good, I could do better. Bad bitch from the woods, I think she a hunter. She a killer and a eater, she a Jeffrey Dahmer. I could tell when she in the feelings, I could read her like a book. No techno, but rather effing on me, am I understood? Yeah. I don't need no molly to be savage. When I'm on that molly, I feel savage. She the definition of a bad bitch. Stole her. I'm the definition of a bandit. I don't need no molly to be savage. But when I'm on the molly, I feel savage. Ain't my girl the definition of a bad bitch. Stole her heart. I'm the definition of a bandit.
My brother pointed out and she a bad bitch, I own her. Must ain't heard that I'm a savage, once I get a bitch, I own her. I see she got swag, I got cash, so I want her. This 4-5 in my pants, put on your ass, what's your own, bro? Shorty, she a rider with the diesel on. And shorty, I'm a daughter with no semen on me. If we got a problem, we get rid of homie. Put 50,000 in your pocket, we gon' get the money. I'm the definition of a bandit. Take your heart from out his hands and still ain't saying shit. Honest. Some new killers in my circle you done ran with. Like this 30-38, this bitch you damaged. Poppin' Willis, 4K Trey car when you land with it. I let you drive inside my bros where they been land with it. I wrote this bitch, I opened up a can with it. Like fuck the stove, I make it jump without my hand in it.
I don't need no molly to be savage. When I'm on that molly, I feel savage. She the definition of a bad bitch. Stole her. I'm the definition of a bandit. I don't need no molly to be savage. But when I'm on the molly, I feel savage. My girl the definition of a bad bitch. Stole her heart. I'm the definition of a bandit.
Verbose.xyz tonight. Happy Halloweener to all of you joining us. I am the Mad Wiener, Miles Lowroad, coupled with my freaky friend, Crafter, a.k.a. my dick run hut, a.k.a. Black Zombie Jesus. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Back from the dead. Zombie Jesus in the house.
That's right. And for all of you wondering out there, I am dressed like a wiener tonight. My mom always said I was a wiener, and I am actualizing it here for you in audio form. So feel my excitement as I sit here with headphones on in a wiener costume. So, what's up in your neck of the woods, Crafter? How's the world looking from your, high-rise view out in the country where you make millions of dollars?
Yeah, where I'm making these millions of dollars and part of the Illuminati lizard cult, things are looking good. You know, we're keeping up the crisis every day. We're keeping everyone confused on what's happening and what's going
Never
on.
Never let a good crisis go to waste. You feel me?
It's going well. It's going well there, Miles.
Excellent, Crafter. As long as the Illuminati is still fucking in full force. I hate to spoil it for you guys tonight, but I mean, speaking of Illuminati, we're going to play this outro song, which is probably going to be the worst song we listen to a lot of bad music here at Verbose just to kind of like weed through intro and outro shit for you, but this one tonight is bad. But what's even better is the fucking music video. It's straight up like, I think they're trying to do it because of Halloween, but there's like goats in it and snakes and stuff. And I think it's like satanic messages. I don't know if it like the rap industry is seriously memeing it or if like the Illuminati really is using this as their wavelength to get the message out. What say you, Crafter?
I would go with the second one. It's about promoting ignorance, promoting violence, and encouraging people to have unhealthy lifestyles because the Illuminati.
Because Illuminati.
The Illuminati. Feeling a little Illuminati. Bit Illuminati tonight.
They also, you know, invented peanut butter because they are the Illuminati.
See, I always thought it was George Washington Carver.
That's just, you know? That's just a myth. That was something made up, so, you know, that people would like black people.
Ah, no one likes black people. That's a total lie.
And that's just a plot line from American Dad. I just robbed that whole thing from American Dad. That's where it came from. Yeah, Illuminati, fucking whole thing. Yeah.
Wow. Who knows? And then you tricked me into being racist.
Yeah, tricked you into being racist.
Although I think I'm inherently racist. I think
everyone's a little bit inherently racist. Like, I don't think anyone is against the idea of liking someone like themselves. Like, they want to give, like, their own personal qualities to other people when they see them. They want to think of them as someone like, well, what if this was happening to me? And even, like, when you're taught as a child, you know, the golden rule, you know, treat people as you would like to be treated. So it's like, you know, like, when you see someone like you, like, you know, that's what you associate as an equal. And you see any kind of difference, you want to point it out and want to act greater than. And I think that's kind of a tendency in all races and all people. And we have to get over that kind of thing. We have to know that it's more of a basic instinct than a reality.
Interesting. I don't know. Maybe we should just stop trying to police that kind of behavior.
Maybe.
No.
Oh,
so you, why don't we go, you know, I think we go more wild instead of like more tame. Like, I mean, why should we have legislation that prevents us from acting out what is inherently human?
I mean, speech wise, I think definitely we need to quit restricting that. We should allow racist ideas to be presented and then be shouted down, you know, through logical argument, and not just, you know, threatening violence with more violence. I mean, of course, anyone committing violent acts for racism, that breaks other laws besides just racist things. But the speech, unfortunately, has to be protected. It's free speech. It's horrible things to say about people, but then you can prove them wrong. You know, I mean, that's the opportunity you get.
Indeed. And that's only presented there by free speech, which is interesting. We kind of touched on this last week. It seems like all these big tech platforms are starting to wake up to the idea, or rather retract even further from the idea. For example, like we said last week, right? Didn't Facebook say that they weren't going to police any sort of political speech?
Yeah, Facebook says they're not going to fact check any kind of political ads that are presented on their platform. Now, Twitter today has gone the opposite direction and said they refuse any political ads whatsoever. So it's kind of a weird internet war now of companies trying to, you know, preemptively kind of distance themselves from an issue that, you know, other people are going to blame them for in the future. Oh, you pushed too much for one side or the other. You know, like, oh, Facebook, you helped the Republicans, or, you know, Google, you helped the Democrats. And it seems like a lot of these companies want to distance themselves. So it's like, here, we let them do whatever they want. It's their fault. Or we're not letting anyone do anything. You know, it wasn't our fault. It's still kind of the same reaction.
Put Crafter at the helm of the big tech companies. What direction would you go? Allowing political speech to be unbridled, or completely zucking it? I guess you can't use that term anymore. Zucking would be, it would be more, would you go full Dorsey or would you go full Zuck?
I mean, it's completely asinine to try to hold these companies responsible for what their users are saying on their platforms. I mean, none of the phone companies were held responsible for what's going on their networks. Drug deals, kidnappings, you know, bribery, inside trading. The phone company is not responsible for those phone calls that happen on their system. So why is Facebook responsible for the content on theirs? Why is a public library, if you walk into it and someone has a conversation about building a bomb with another person, why is the library not responsible for that? For facilitating that conversation?
Devil's advocate, it's a platform created by someone that filters information as opposed to being the resource, which is the internet, and the internet being comparable to something like a phone service.
I mean, it's still kind of, I mean, or like, what about the post office? I mean, do they're responsible for the content of the letters they send to each other?
And I guess that's true. There are third parties that provide a similar service like FedEx or UPS. Interesting.
Like, is it the content platform job to monitor the content, read all the content, go through it all and make sure nothing's illegal happening? Or is that the job of the police to ask for that information and ask for certain, you know, things like that? Why does everyone become morality police, you know, because of PC culture?
Yeah, that befuddles me to this day. I don't know. Like, I can even look back. What's that Chris Farley looking black dude?
Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah, Patrice O'Neill. Like, you look back at his stuff from the comedy from the what is that place called? The Comedy Shack. It's the place that fucking Joe Rogan regulars now.
Laugh
at? I don't know. No, it's one of those fucking places, right? In L.A. And you see his stand-up in 2004, just disgruntled as fuck, not giving shit about his audience. And the shit he's talking about then is, like, you know, racism and identity politics and, you know, the emasculation of complete groups of people. Yeah, and it's so funny how people like that read the tea leaves, like, fucking, you know, 15 years ago to where we are now today in a world of fucking, you know, mass censorship and essentially social scores that are keeping us from, you know, being able to share our ideas fully without fear of any sort of repercussions. It's, you know, I go through a lot of clips for this show before we start, and usually it's like last minute fucking Tuesday or Wednesday night, just kind of sprawling through things. But I found a very interesting clip because, like, Tucker Carlson, he has some fucking interesting guests on the show, and it's a great, like, if you like Pokemon, you know, like the matchups, like just the battling. That's what a show feels like. It's just like these fucking talking heads that verse each other, you know, from other realms. And you don't see that often. Usually it's like so polarized in the world of the mainstream media. So we had this guy from Canada, CP News 24 in Toronto. Like a good 7 million people watch that station. And he came on Tucker Carlson and was talking about how Canada doesn't censor speech, and that you can't, there's no social ramifications for what you say. You know, it's just people are more woke in these cultures and are able to keep a better mindset, is what this guy argued. Well, fucking 2 weeks after going on the show trying to argue his points, gets fired from the station for going on Fox News being on Tucker Carlson. Like, you can't even fucking talk, you can't even have a debate now and go on someone else's airspace, try to fucking figure things out intellectually without getting, you know, ostracized and fucking shot away from your job. That's what pisses me off the most, is that our words are now, you know, off the clock fucking affecting what happens with our professional lives. Yeah. And that puts people on the street.
Yeah. And I mean, and I don't see, like, I mean, I can understand the argument. Well, it's not legal ramifications. These are, you know, by private companies and they have the right to choose. But it's like, do they have the right to discriminate based on other beliefs? Like, if I just make up, I believe in fucking flying spaghetti monster, now they can't tell me otherwise. But if I, you know, say some fucking crazy shit, like, you know, Inuit people are the master race, you know, all of a sudden I'm just fucking racist. This is like, I mean, I don't know. It's,
I don't know if that would make you racist. I think that, yeah, because there's this weird racism that goes on now. Which is great, because I have a clip from Tucker Carlson on this very point. And this is very, you know, professional wrestling, divisive, right-leaning news. But it tickles the fucking the synapses a bit. But this clip will play later. It brings up the point that Ocasio-Cortez is deeply racist. And a lot of what her politics are like putting out these ideas of that what white people are doing to the earth are affecting brown people and keeping them back even further, including things like climate change, which I believe this is laid out in the Green New Deal.
I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that kind of caught me off guard. I mean, I don't really know if her policies are really anti-white. I mean, I guess they target industries that are controlled by majority white people, but most corporations are controlled by white people. So, I mean, I don't know. The racist part is that, you know, the whiteys don't want to hire anyone else.
But to say that, you know, brown people don't hold these position of power at all. Is that true?
Not at all. Just at a lower percentage than white people.
Right. Right. Fucking redistribute the wealth. Yes or no?
To me, yeah, give me some. That's cool. To everyone. Fuck, that's just trickle up economics, man. You know, like, everyone, the companies are going to fucking reap the benefits. So that's all that's going to happen. And, you know, everyone will go out there immediately and just blow that shit.
I think that's the one thing that people aren't saying about this, you know? It's like everyone wants to leave out the convenient details for fucking their, you know, to push their agenda. But at the end of the day, we still live in a very consumption-oriented society. Even, like, the most, like, deep-seated third-wave feminists still like shopping on Amazon, you know? And these companies literally... What?
Convenience is king, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. You want to get your, you know, double-headed, huge dick huge dick radius dildo, you know, double-sided. Where better to get it on Amazon, free shipping, and ships that day?
Yeah, like, I mean, if you had to jerk off for 48 hours just to get a nut, would you bother?
Yeah. I mean, imagine
you'd be
like
very chafed after that long. You lack
sure.
sleep.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true. You wouldn't do it like you wouldn't. I mean, it would curb your ejaculation, you know. But what if like
yeah,
it just took?
Point. You're right, El Jeffo. But you know, I need to make something more crude out of this. You know, if I take it too seriously, it's just depressing.
Yeah, that's true. Clown world. We live in that clown world. When you're a clown, no one takes you seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the WB. Fucking.
Whoa.
Yep, I went there.
We went past that line. Goodbye, all our platforms.
Yeah. I think we said goodbye, all our platforms, when we played Juice WRLD, dropping hard R.
Yeah.
No one drops hard R quite like Fetty Wap, though.
Yeah, but I hear it, and it still seems like it's like some racist white guy saying it. When you dropped that hard ER at the end, man. Like, oh, it just sounds very backwoods, trailer park, southern. You know,
maybe it is southern. Maybe that's a southern. Maybe hard R is a southern thing.
Yeah, might be.
Interesting. We should explore this. We should explore this further. But I think that it's been explained by other rappers that hard R and GA is the same exact thing.
Yeah, I mean,
it has the same exact sentiment.
It's the same definition. Even though I remember that teacher back in the day who got fired because he was, you know, well, I used it the correct way. Like 60-year-old white dude.
I use it. Right? I said nigga. Yeah. Come on. Come on, man.
I didn't drop a hard R on these kids.
I was just trying to relate to them in a very urban, with an urban colloquialism.
Yeah, I think he said something like that. That's how they refer to each other, so I thought I could refer to them as such.
Dude, that sounds like such a dad thing. It's so fucking beautiful. It seems like such a dad thing. Oh my god. I love it. You ever want to be a dad?
I mean, hopefully it just, like, accidentally happens, like, one day, you know, someone just knocks on the door. I'm like, oh, this is yours.
Yeah, wow. I'm always afraid that's going to happen to me. You know, like, I'm mid-relationship on my third career, second wife, and all of a sudden, you know, fucking Helga from back in Norway fucking hits me up.
Yeah, but I mean...
I have your baby.
Racism aside, you know, like, if, like, a little... Hispanic chick comes up and gives you a baby and she's like, this was yours, and you look at it and it's black, like, you know, racism aside, you'd be like, she's probably lying, right?
That, yeah, that's not my baby. Sorry, it's not my baby. Yep. That's true. True story. If it's white, it's not my baby, but I'll raise it.
That's horrible.
Just kidding.
I saw this horrible meme on fucking internet today, and it was like, what do white people and black people have in common? They both don't want to raise black kids.
Oh fuck. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Horrible.
Oh, it's so good. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. By the way, fun fact, Epstein didn't kill himself.
Epstein did not kill himself. Coroner is saying that it seems like homicidal strangulation, but the amount of bones broken in his neck and by blood clots in his eyes, it seems least likely that it was himself hanging himself while on his knees.
Wow. So he did not hang himself on his knees.
I mean, I don't know. There's you know, disputing evidence, it seems.
Yeah, that, like, strangulation would explain how some of the bones broke in his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Because everybody knows water is comprised of, what is it, 2 hydrogen, 1 oxygen. And Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. That's one of my new favorite memes. You know why? Because fucking they still have not investigated Zorro Ranch in New Mexico.
Nope.
Still have not. To this day. Fucking this is
81 days since his death, I think.
Yeah. 81 days, really? So October 30th, the day before Halloween. Happy Halloweeny to all of you out there. Fucking still to this date. Jeffrey Epstein's Azor Ranch has not been fucking even touched. I think someone went out there to Azor Ranch recently. Did you hear something about that? Someone went out there and visited that shit?
No.
It's all abandoned and shit.
Yeah, they cleaned that shit up good, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the drone footage they had from Azor Ranch of someone not trespassing but fucking bringing cameras were people moving in there, moving tons of things around. You know what I mean? Obviously trying to make it look good.
Yeah, don't want to get the squirt on your shirt.
You'd be a fool. Shout out to my man Future. You ever want to come on the show and talk about like purple activists and fucking girls and your Gucci flip-flops and taking masks and putting them on and taking them off? You're welcome to come on the show.
Oh, El Japo wants to know more about the ranch. He wants to know more about the ranch. Well, Jeffrey Epstein owns this very large ranch an hour outside of Albuquerque that is partly private land and partly state grazing land. He was given, I don't know, thousands of acres of state grazing land. He's also, when he registered as a sex offender, the state immediately took him off the sex registry just on their own accord. Like, usually you have to go to fucking judge for that shit. But either way, they give him this hookup of all this fucking private land he buys, and he gets all this extra grazing land, even though he owns no livestock or cattle or anything. He doesn't have a fucking farm. Builds this weird temple house.
Just chattel.
House.
No cattle, just chattel.
Yep, and flew many flights from Paris to Albuquerque, and then drove to his ranch in limousines with, possibly
questionably aged women.
Questionably aged women, between the ages of 14 to 17, possibly, is what some people said. He met with the governor, Bill Richardson, at his ranch. He met with many other famous people there. He donated money to the to Bill Richardson.
The governor Richardson, motherfucker, has ties with Epstein. That's crazy shit.
Yeah. It's, and I mean, Bill Richardson has released statements saying that, oh, I never knew it. I only went over there for, you know, political fundraising.
Oh, yeah, you're fucking raising that fucking political dick.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely a lot of shit going on there. There's definitely his flight records that were released very early on show he made multiple flights from Paris to Albuquerque and Paris back, like, multiple times a week sometimes. Like, obviously, this is some place that he would, you know, come directly from international flights into the country. And it's weird that this was not searched first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They've searched basically everywhere else. And I think this is the one site that's on U.S. soil.
I mean, he also has, you know, places in New York and...
Oh, right. New York is what got him popped.
Yeah.
Because Miami fucking sealed that case. You know what I mean? That's fucking bullshit.
Oh, and,
we just let this continue on. Go ahead.
El Japs hasn't been searched. No, the ranch has not been searched by anyone. No police have searched any search warrants. No one has gone into the property to look. It's been
business as usual over there. I mean, without any of the old funny business, but it's been like, you know, cars that are authorized to come on that property do so. They go in there. People have cleaned stuff up. They've moved shit out. Like, there's video of this that you can find.
No, it's not quarantined or anything like that. The state
you can fucking drive up there yourself, man.
The state has threatened to take back the grazing land now, though. So, I mean, you know, thousands of acres that would return back to the state, but nothing else. Not where his house is.
Mm, indeed.
Zorro Ranch is what he named it.
Zorro fucking Ranch. Motherfucker was obsessed with Zorro, too, so I hear. And fucking eugenics.
Yeah, fucking weirdo. who did not kill himself.
Nope, he was murdered. But it shows how expendable he really was at the end of the day. He was literally just the kid pimp. And when he became a liability, they fucking snuffed his ass. And that's all theory, folks, and conjecture. But I enjoy, you know, conspirizing.
Some people say that he was part of a Illuminati group called the Finders, who, you know, get children from around the world, be it for sexual abuse, organ transplantation, blood sacrifice, rituals, whatever it is. And you know, they're called the Finders. And then the CIA, you know, recently released documents and a Freedom of Information request where they were, you know, investigating a group called the Finders in the 80s and who were, you know, abducting children. So it's kind of weird that there is a small amount of evidence that was actually released, but, you know, nothing conclusive or anything. But, you know, a lot of people on conspiracy chat boards and 4chan, you know, kind of link the two, including, you know, Pizzagate. They say it's part of the same thing.
What I found interesting about his whole fucking, you know, his whole fucking hierarchy of things is the older women, like, you know, 16 to 18 would be kind of the recruiters. They would go out and find the younger girls and then lure them in, you know. So it was like he had his fucking, his little birds out there, like fucking Varys from Game of Thrones, you know, fucking luring in the other kids because kids trust kids. It's fucking that's some dark shit, man.
There's some dark shit. And a lot of powerful people he was friends with. And it can't be just because he had money. There's a lot of other rich motherfuckers who don't have that many powerful friends.
You think?
I mean, maybe not, like, I guess, what do you call rich? I mean, like, super rich, like Elon Musk, Bill Gates, all those guys, yeah, they have really powerful friends. But, I mean, there's also people who've probably started, like, carpet building warehouses in fucking Texas who don't have media connections.
yeah, exactly.
Or own multiple car dealerships.
Right. Mm-hmm. Indeed. You don't think the car dealer is, like, dealing on the tip of the Illuminati? He's, like, a subsection of it and shit?
I mean, maybe he's like, you know, like a 20th degree Freemason and not 33rd degree. Maybe something like that. Maybe
right?
All involved. Could be.
I don't know, man. I've met some 33rd degree Masons and they were just like normal dudes who actually did like construction work.
How do you know they were 33rd?
Because they said they were.
Did they show you the secret?
No. What's the secret?
You'd only know if you're 33rd.
So, but if he showed me, I'd fucking know.
Exactly.
Oh.
Exactly. There's no way of knowing. It's one of those roundabout chicken or egg questions.
Oh, I see what you mean. You're telling me this guy could be probably pulling my leg and shit, like.
Yeah, or like, you know, read about it on the internet, or maybe he did join at some point, you know. But to get all the way up to the top, you know, like, and then tell just some random people secrets
top.
To the very tip. I mean, that, and then just start telling random people, like, that's the way you die, you know, like, even a historical context, you know, you don't get up that high in anything and then just say, hey, I'm cool. Later, guys.
She said, see you later, boy. No, okay.
Like, if you just got, like, low level and you're just doing, you know, charity work and going to meetings and saying weird Latin shit, you know, like, yeah, you can fucking probably quit.
But I heard that like 33rd degree, you had to be at least 33rd degree to become a Shriner.
Maybe.
So you can tell the guy who's 33rd degree so long as he's wearing his fez. But that feels like it's smoke and mirrors to the, you know, skull and bones kind of dudes.
Yeah, and then really, you know, like, I mean, there's so many cities and so many different divisions, like. I mean, you would have to promote so many people to 33rd degree. Like, half of them would be retards anyway, you know, so. It's possible that guy was, and then, you know, told you, because he was, like, you know, some fucking weird little town with, like, 10,000 people in it, but they had their own chapter.
So Manson. So, the swamp has been quite thick lately. A lot of back and forth, and there's some... Yeah, it's like someone fucking added some flour to that swamp water because that shit's thick as fuck. And it's kind of coming to a boil here with all the Ukraine things and connections to Russia. And what's this fucking company, Joe Biden's son's, you know, company he's working for or whatever in Ukraine? Can't remember the actual name.
Butholson, yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, Butholson, something like that. You know what I mean? It'll be in one of the clips later, but what can you make of all this? Like, it looks like Trump's about to be impeached.
I mean, I feel like the best outcome is, you know, what I've been like really hoping for is, you know, Trump gets impeached, goes down in flames. Biden fucking goes to jail, goes down in flames. You know, they both start snitching on everyone else because they're both kind of cowardly people, or they get Epstein'd.
Epstein'd.
And it would be like the real draining of the swamp. And, you know, then like everyone would have to remember Trump as the president who finally drained the fucking swamp and brought down all the crooks with him, because they're all just shitty, ultra capitalist crooks. Like, they don't want to play the game fairly. They want to fucking set the rules themselves.
I think it's fair to call them capitalists. I think that there's plenty of like fucking gun toting libertarian capitalists out there, fucking, you know, doing things off the grid and outside of the government that, you know,
government took my baby,
that are riding the waves of capitalism. It's where crony capitalism and fucking nepotism come into place and make it something that's it's a rigged game. That's, you know, if you're playing straight calculus and you're looking at shit and being like, okay, these are the numbers. If I spend this kind of money, I can get this kind of output. And this is what I can, you know, if you're smart like that and you could fucking break it down and do business, that's one thing. But if you're fucking making side deals behind people's backs because you're throwing around tons of your daddy's money, that's where it's like, okay, bro, like your form of capitalism does not jive with mine.
But, and then again, maybe this isn't like, I mean, El Japo is saying, you know, late stage capitalism, but then you think kind of like to like the 1900s, like, you know, like the formulation of electricity, Tesla and and that whole time in Edison. In the corruption there, and the way Edison, you know, kind of manipulated the media system to try to, you know, push Tesla out, and then we saw other companies kind of, you know, have these hostile takeovers and all these other things we learned about, you know, in history class of business. I mean, it has never really been a fair, a fair level playing field, but it seems like it became more fair. And now we're kind of, you know, decaying back into, you know, early America.
Is that a bad thing?
I mean, I would say so. It leads to a lack of innovation. It leads to, you know, lack of progress and you know, putting large amount of profits in individual hands who changed the landscape of our financial economy for generations and decades. I mean, the families, like, I mean, you know, without conspiracy about it, you know, Rockefellers and all that stuff. I mean, even if you don't say, you know, the conspiracy of these families control the world, the amount of money they've been holding, you know, could influence so many things from, you know, projects to whole businesses were probably built off their family's needs alone.
Yeah. Wow. And so you feel that it's the responsibility of these companies once they get to a certain point to think about the lives of others outside of their own families?
I mean, I feel like at some point you have to think about, you know, continuity and being able to move forward. And, you know, like, yes, you can create a monopoly where your family controls majority of business, you know, 100 years from now, 200 years from now. But, you know, the profits will be so small because you will have to abuse people to continue them. It's, I mean, that's kind of what I think we're seeing now. And it, we didn't, the high class of people like that need to decide, you know, do they want to fall into full on oligarchy where it's, you know, really haves and have nots, or, you know, do they want to see a middle class prosper? And so that the educated and the best can get to their level.
Yeah. Wow. It seems like the more even keel, the more fair level of capitalism, the idea of, you know, playing the game fair, having a set of guidelines that you go by, at the same token, what you would restrict would be these, inside deals that only benefit one family, or the monopolies that only benefit one group, yeah. one company.
Yeah. I mean, we need to encourage, you know, competition. We need to encourage, you know, other people to make companies, and the better business plan and the better managed company should be the one winning out. And if, you know, if someone is embezzling money or, you know, cooking their books, those companies should fail relatively quickly and minimize the impact on investors.
Small loan of $1 million. What would you do?
I mean, I would buy some New York City real estate.
Would that be your first failure?
Probably, you know, and then I would somehow be able to make a profit on that, just like Trump. I'm just kidding. I'm not that smart. I don't have enough lawyers and you know, friends and other
and
people.
Again,
to educate
I don't know if it's smart, right? Like, I feel it's like who you know. And that's the thing about like old money and money families. It's like they're just interconnected. They've been inbreeding with each other both fiscally and like sexually for fucking generation, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Buy fucking lawyers. I fucking agree with you, dude.
Yeah. And
I need a Jew.
The inbreeding has made them like white as snow, though. You know, like, I mean, Trump's so fucking white, he colored himself orange.
What I love is that you could tell that it's either some sort of like, you know, automated spray tan thing where he has the eye cups on, or he's going to a tanning place and puts the eye cups on.
Yeah, like, I understand, like, CNN kind of changes colors a little bit. Like, if you look at Fox coverage, the CNN coverage, he looks a little oranger on CNN. They change the tint a little bit, you know, because...
You gotta be kidding me, bro.
No way,
think
they
do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think they make him more orange, because everyone loves it. But he definitely is a little orange, no matter what anyone says. Like, there's definitely some weird tanning situation going on there. He's a vanity problem. The weird comb back over the back bald spot. You know, I mean, he has hair in the front of his head, but not in the back.
Yeah, you can tell that when the wind hits the back of his head or whatever. Speaking of which, weren't we talking about something earlier today of some sort of media cover up or some edited tapes? What were we talking about with that?
What?
Like some media releases of was it Trump phone calls or something like that where they edited the release?
The new testimony about the Trump's Ukrainian phone call. He left out mentions that he asked if they had video of Biden or Biden Jr. doing something, but that was left out of Trump's transcript, unedited transcript is what Trump said. So it was definitely edited.
Perfect call.
Yeah, they removed references to the video, and they also removed references to the company name that Hunter Biden worked for and changed it to just the company in the release transcript. So
when it was actually the fucking name.
Yeah, I mean, the Democrats even contended mostly today that it was an uneventful change, you know, because they're not worried about those kind of two facts. But I'm not sure what facts they're really worried about. Roasted.
I don't think they're worried about facts. I think it's more worried about condemning one side over another. And the scary thing to me about all of this is, like, it's not in the name of democracy. It's not in the name of the Democratic Party. It seems to be in the name of neo-socialism. This idea of being able to strip away our rights, give us state-funded services, and become, wanton to the government. Fuck that, you know? I'd rather die and fend for myself than fucking be beholden to the government.
Not better red than dead?
What?
Neo-socialism.
Better dead. Better dead than red, my dude. You got
neo-socialism
that.
Neo-socialism is what happened after neoconservatism.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's like the response to neoconservatism. But fuck neoconservatism too. All that shit is again crony capitalism, big business, not considering any of the American people past fucking lining the pockets of the fat cats. You know what I mean? You feel me on that? Fucking, I'm not trying to go Bernie Sanders over here, but fuck these motherfuckers with all the money and try to play inside baseball. You know what I mean? Let me roll the dice, motherfucker. Let me put a $20 yo bet down. Come on, man.
I mean, if Bernie wins and, you know, the goal is to pay for everything, it's going to be a fun couple years before we're broke, man.
How long do you think before we go broke?
18 months.
Right? Oh my God, dude. What do you think that would do to the price of Bitcoin?
I'll probably head it to a million. And then John McAfee doesn't have to eat his dick.
Right? Wow. That's 4D chess if fucking one of the socialist Bernie analogs get elected. And I guess where are we at? I guess we can get to some clips. What do you want to listen to?
Love clips.
Let's go on to the clips section of the show. We got a few clips for you guys.
You guys listen to these things and remember them and put them in your soul. Just kidding. Don't do that.
Put these clips directly into your soul's anus. It's good for you. It cleanses out the kundalini.
Yep. Happy Halloweener.
Happy Halloweener to all of you tonight. You're in for more of a trick than a treat really tonight, but I've been playing a lot of Tulsi Gabbard because I'm really on one. You know, I lean more I'm more right leaning as far as like a libertarian is concerned, or center of the road, you know, moderate kind of dude, but at this point I'd like to see Tulsi Gabbard above anybody else, and that includes Trump. And that's just her stance on foreign policy, getting out of the endless wars. You know, a regime change, I feel, as far as our foreign policy, but also our internal policy, and doing things like I know people freak out about this, but legalizing prostitution. Think about it. What does that actually do? Okay. Think about it.
Pussy everywhere. The world smells like pussy. Everything's pussy.
That's amazing. Drop a nickel ball on a coin slot. I don't know. Anyways, fucking. But what it also does is it lessens the stronghold of human trafficking for the purpose of sexual exploitation. You legalize it, there become standards. No one's going to go to some fucking hoe on the corner anymore. They want to see your stamped, approved, I don't got STDs, fucking government-sanctioned pussy. You know what I'm saying?
No roast approved.
Yeah, fucking, you got roast beef. That'd be awesome. Maybe we could, dude, Tulsi, iSlut, if you're listening to verbose.xyz, talk to us. We will couple with you on Make the Roast Toast. We can make it government-sanctioned pussy restoration for hoes out there who test clean on everything and work for the government pimp.
Yeah.
That's fucking
amazing.
You got
dangly lips, we got Medicare.
Medicare for dangly lips, y'all. Oh, fuck yes. Tulsi Gabbard 2020, that's all you say. But so anyways, fucking got that going on. Tulsi Yang, that would be fucking cool. Although the whole Yang Bucks thing, I don't know if we can afford that either. I think he breaks it down a little bit better than Bernie does, and even a little bit better than Elizabeth Warren. Although early on, I felt like Elizabeth Warren really had together where she'd get the money from. It would bankrupt the billionaires. I mean, but then are you going to focus your attention on middle class? I don't fucking know. Anyways, go ahead.
Fuck it. No, I want some clips. I go on forever.
No. Hit me with your last thought.
I mean, I kind of liked Ron Paul's idea of eliminating the IRS and income tax altogether, and just having a sales tax. And he kind of said that, you know, it wasn't really necessary by the math that we needed income tax at all.
Wow.
Whoever buys the most stuff pays the most tax, you know, sales tax.
Damn. That kind of makes sense. That makes sense. And the businesses who make the most money pay the most tax.
I mean, you only buy money when you only pay tax when you buy shit.
Oh, I see. So if you sell shit, you don't pay tax.
Yeah.
Huh. And we'd still have enough money to fund all the things like roads and fucking education and blah blah blah.
Yeah, that was one of the like Ron Paul's things with his whole re-lovolution, you know, for the Libertarian Party, which I was really, you know, that would have been cool.
See, Ron Paul was good. Rand Paul, man, you're all right.
He's a Russian asset.
Nah, just like Tulsi and fucking Jill Stein. Give me a fucking break.
Donald Trump. All these people who never talk to each other, they're all working for Putin. Guaranteed. Hillary Clinton said so.
RuPaul 2020. Yeah. That's what El Chapo said.
RuPaul
saying.
Worked for fucking for Putin too. Hillary said so.
So as I was saying, last week I played, you know, the past few weeks I've been playing a lot of Tulsi Gabbard stuff because I'm trying to push it. And I really, if you're out there, iSlut, fucking run independent, bring that 8% into Libertarian Party, Green Party. I don't give a fuck. We just need a third party. You got our vote. You know what I mean? But regardless, I've been playing a lot of Tulsi Gabbard because I'm trying to push that. But tonight I just want to bring to light this amazing interview. Joe Biden, you make the best fucking memes, my dude. It blows my ever-living mind.
Creepy Joe, sniffing girls.
Creepy, sleepy, Anything else that I throw in there, Joe Biden? Creepy, sleepy, sneaky. Anyway, so he was on 60 Minutes on this past Sunday, and he's got some fucking gems out there, man. Obviously bashing Trump. Actually, he was on two interviews. He was on CBS Evening News, I believe, on Saturday or that Friday. And then Sunday, he was on 60 Minutes. But it just still all of it's fucking comedy gold. It's like, dude, if you vote for Joe Biden, you really are not paying attention to that, or you're really fucking stupid, or really that you're that leaky Joe. Oh my God. Not Peaky Joe, because that reminds me of Peaky Blinders, and they're fucking cool as shit.
Maybe Cheeky? Very Cheeky.
Cheeky Joe. Cheeky Joe! Yeah, I dig that too. I fucking dig that too. He's kind of cheeky. Motherfucking Cheeky Joe on 60 Minutes.
But he sniffs small girls' hair, so fuck off, Joe.
Creepy. Oh my God, dude. Yeah, for that alone, I would not vote for him. But he seems to think that he fucking do the job perfectly. This is Joe Biden on what he would take for state Senate to remove President Trump. And this is 60 Minutes. Let's fucking do this here. Here we go.
The unemployment rate in September was 3.5%, the lowest it's been in half a century. And if the economy remains strong next year, President Trump will not miss an opportunity to remind voters of that fact, nor a chance to bash those seeking to impeach him.
They know they can't win on election day, so they're pursuing an illegal, invalid, and unconstitutional bullshit impeachment.
Bullshit.
I think he thinks that if you say the big lie enough, you keep repeating it, people will believe it. But this time, it's different.
You were in the Senate for 36 years. You know a lot of these Republican senators well. What would it take for 20 or more Republican senators to vote to remove the president from office?
For the people in their district to say, in their state to say, enough, we're holding you responsible.
About this election?
Yeah.
If it doesn't
not even
work out, would you
statement
be okay with that? Could you walk away and say, I didn't win, but my legacy is intact?
I'm not worried about my legacy.
Yeah, it's already tarnished.
Is the country 4 years of Donald Trump?
Step down
be
already.
Very hard to overcome.
Walk away.
Can. Yeah, if you care about the country, stop.
Fundamentally change
let's
the nature of who we are
give
as a country.
Your endorsement.
It'll take a generation or more, for us to get back on track.
A woman president.
Did,
with a
did you hear what he said
platform
there? Did you see hear what he said there? Though
no,
he said
him.
He oh said a Trump presidency, a 4 year Trump presidency is recoverable. An 8 year Trump presidency would take a generation to recover. That's what he just fucking said.
What? A generation? How long is a generation? 30 years?
I think it depends on the time frame. I think it changes. I think it changes based on the amount of change that occurred in a time period.
I mean,
El Japo saying 32 years. Let's go with 32 years.
I would say it's going to take a generation to recover from George W. Bush's fucking presidency, for sure.
But and yes, and that's a great example, actually, because what fucking George W. Bush did was create the furthering of like an oligarchy in the United States, giving the president more power than it actually should.
Yeah. And I think this may be just maybe an example of that, that, you know, it's this wildly fluctuating that, you know, we went to this mild, you know, huge war, torture's okay, who cares, dehumanizing everybody, you know, calling people, you know, it's just towel heads and all this other horrible shit. Like, it was a weird way to look at the world suddenly. And then, you know, afterwards have to come to terms with PC culture and it's swinging wildly left. And now it's, you know, trying to bend right again. It's, and then it wants to go far left again. It's like, it's this huge, like, swaying structure. And it can't find its center.
With Joe Biden, doesn't he seem like that in that small clip kind of delusional, even with his responses to like, how do we defeat Donald Trump? It's like, we have to go to our senators and legislation and they have to speak up. Like, wait, really, dude? That's your response to that?
What's been fucking happening? I mean, is all this turmoil and all these fucking laws being passed and all these hearings in Congress and all these impeachment hearings in the basement, are these people not standing up and talking? What do you mean? What's happening? Like, there's things obviously happening, and every year we've been watching these politics, and during Obama's presidency, we were probably even glued to that shit. Like, this has been a constant crisis for fucking a decade straight.
Seriously, it really has. And, you know, thank you again, our man, George W. Bush, for fucking George H.W. Bush, for keeping it real and making sure that the rights are taken away from the people, and we can have presidential fucking executive orders that just override what our Constitution really stands for. And then we'll throw identity politics back at fucking the population so they're distracted from how the government is actually taking over. And this is the one thing I really like about Trump, is he's a fucking monkey wrench in the whole thing. Sure, lives are being cost, but that happens every fucking day, and that happened through the Obama drone strikes and shit like that.
True.
What Trump is doing is he's fumbling as a president through this in such a way that's distracting the government from fucking actually getting anything done, which is actually keeping us relatively free as a people. Where we have to get out of each other's ways is fucking trying to is succumbing to this identity politics of division. This is what's going to fuck us all up. And I digress, because we're trying to talk about Creepy Joe here. I got some great clips of 60 Minutes.
Hour in, no clips. Where's my damn clip?
Later, El Japo. I fucking love you. Have fun. Have fun, my dude. Wieners are us. Anyways, fucking this clip, also from 60 Minutes. Why hasn't President endorsed Joe Biden? And I think this is a very popular clip. This is the first one that comes up on everything, because people are considering this idea as well. And this is straight from the horse's mouth. Creepy Joe, here we go.
The Democratic Party has had Jack Kennedy, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. This is your third run for president. Why Joe Biden?
Well, because I think, as I said, we need somebody who on day one knows exactly what to do, can command the world stage. No one wonders whether I know a great deal about these issues in foreign policy and domestic policy. There's things I've done.
And that might be one of the
that
criticisms,
exactly,
too, that you're offering
that.
Essentially 4 more years of a
really?
Obama-like administration.
Well, let me tell you something. I love the fact that all of a sudden the Democratic Party doesn't think Obama was that great a president. I find that fascinating.
Some have asked, why hasn't President Obama endorsed you? You guys served together for 8 years.
Because I have to earn, I want to earn this on my own.
Did he offer to endorse you?
No, we didn't even get there. I asked him not to. He said, okay. I think it's better. I think he thinks it's better.
We didn't get there, but I
have no doubt when I'm the nominee, he'll be out the campaign.
We didn't even get there.
Half truth.
We didn't even get there. I approached Obama day one and said, don't endorse me, motherfucker. Yeah. So we didn't even get there.
Don't help me win, because I don't need your help. Like, my ass.
And that's, I think right now, Obama's like, please don't make it to the campaign trail. Please don't make it to the campaign trail. Because if he does, then he'll feel obligated to fucking be standing behind him. It's going to be like that awkward picture of Obama shaking Trump's, hand. You know what I mean? It's going to be like that same feel.
Yeah. And I feel like, no, Biden has not built any confidence in anyone over his career. No one looks at Biden and is like, that's a man who really knows what he's doing.
So, yeah. So he thinks, the American people think, that day one, he's going to be right then there, front and center, fucking commanding the world stage. What say you?
I mean, I think that's a bad choice. I feel, and if he becomes the front runner for the Democratic Party, it's guaranteeing a Trump win.
Yeah. Okay, who could face off against Trump?
Tulsi or Andrew Yang. I mean, if the left wants to really choose their progressive way, they need to choose, why are they not choosing a minority? Why are they not choosing a woman? Why are they choosing an old white man who was around during segregation? How is that progress? How is that, changing? How that is, it's the same fucking asshole who's fucking allowed this shit to get as corrupt as it is now. Wouldn't you want someone else with a new idea, of approaching things? Maybe even, like Tulsi Gabbard's way of approaching things, where, you try to treat the military's job as a role of dignity and respect, that, you're not trying to risk their lives, that you only, put them in danger when you think it's the right decision to better the world. Like, isn't that, the way we were supposed to look at the military originally, before the whole Iraq thing? I don't know.
The world may never know. the world may never know. It's but you ask good questions there. It's like what the people should be asking. It's what everyone should be asking themselves about how they fucking squabble with each other. You should really dig deep and think not about yourself and what you feel and how you project to others, but how it really is going to affect the world in the next 10, 20, 30, 50 years. That leads me to this next Joe Biden clip. And we're going thick tonight because you fucking go on 60 Minutes, the memes get juicy. And here's another one that I think that a lot of people were interested in hearing his response on. This is his response to being asked about his son and his dealings in the Ukraine. Here we go.
Hunter said the only thing you said to him was, quote, "I hope you know what you're doing."
That's exactly right. He's a grown man. What I meant by that is, I hope you've thought this through. I hope you know exactly what you're doing here.
Meaning what?
That's all I meant. Nothing more than that, because I've never discussed my business or their business, my sons or daughters, and I've never discussed them because they know where I have to do my job and that's it, and they have to make their own judgments.
Do you understand people say, Joe Biden, he's an experienced politician, statesman, knows the issues of Ukraine. Why didn't he just say to his son, this is one to take a pass on, it may not look good?
He was already on the board and he's a grown man. And it turns out he did not do a single thing wrong, as everybody's investigating.
Turns out,
Trump has said
turned
publicly,
out, turned out I was not head of the committee
corrupt.
To look into Ukraine and talk to those people while he became head
Anything
of that.
Anything you want to say to him?
No.
Yeah, Mr. President, release your tax returns. Let's see how straight you are, okay, old buddy? I put
old
out
buddy.
21 years of mine. So show us your tax returns, bud. Well, what are you hiding?
Come on, bro.
You want to deal with corruption? Start to act like it. Release your tax returns or shut up.
Damn. He also goes on in this interview, or I think it might be the one in CBS, to call the president literally an idiot. He calls the president an idiot.
I mean,
you're on the campaign trail and you're fucking calling the president an idiot.
If he was doing weird shit with his taxes and that's the reason he won't release them, I don't know why he won't release them, but maybe that's why. He is an idiot. Like, it's the first time I ever thought, you know, I could just cheat my taxes. I could fill in one number and get in huge amounts of money from the government. I'd be like, you know what? Do you really want that to come bite you in the ass, you know, 30 years from now, 50 years from now, you know, whenever? Like, you know, the numbers don't go away. The paperwork doesn't go away. It's the trail will be around your whole lifetime. You know, you don't want to risk that.
Right, right. This next clip is along the same line, so I kind of want to play it back to back. It's discussing how Biden feels about the whole Trump putting his kids in office thing. And I think this is an interesting perspective. What I find also interesting about this interview, this is CBS Evening News interview a couple days ago. What I find interesting about this interview is he brought his wife. And he did another interview in 2011, I think, where he brought his wife. It seems interesting. It seems like human shieldy, just a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you better softball me because I got my wife here. Anyways, here we go. This is Joe Biden on CBS Evening News talking about how he feels about Trump's children in office.
Tonight, in a 60 Minutes interview, Joe Biden is speaking out about politics and children. We spoke to the former vice president and 2020 presidential candidate about his own son's business dealings in Ukraine. With his wife, Jill, by his side, Biden insisted that Hunter Biden did nothing wrong. And he unleashed his sharpest criticism yet of President Trump's family. Do you believe President Trump's children have acted properly and avoided conflicts of interest?
Look, I wasn't raised to go after the children. Their actions speak for themselves. I can just tell you this, that if I'm president, get elected president, my children are not going to have offices in the White House. My children are not going to sit in on cabinet meetings.
What's improper about that?
It's just simply improper because you should make it clear to the American public that everything you're doing is for them. For them. And the idea that you're going to have go to the extent that he is gone, to have our, you know, his children, his son-in-law, et cetera, engaged in the day-to-day operation of things they know nothing about. Just think
you don't think Jared Kushner should be negotiating a Middle East peace solution?
No, I don't.
That's anti-Semitic.
What credential does he bring to that?
He's Jewish.
I mean, look, think of all the really solid people that were left, that started off in that administration. They've all left. They've all left. All the talent is gone. They've left. Or like great Americans like Rudy Giuliani is still engaged. I mean, what
great Americans?
People see this.
Great.
There's thugs. You know, Giuliani and the two guys who are helping him, they get arrested at the airport trying to leave the country. I mean, where has that happened on any other president's watch?
Well, you can see our full interview with Joe Biden that Sunday night.
Shut the fuck
on
up.
60
no,
minutes.
What the fuck we have to say. Anyways, fucking. Okay, so Joe Biden, motherfucker, has the audacity to say, I wouldn't put my kids in office when obviously you had dealings with the Ukraine. You were able to put pressure on them in such a way that they fired people so that you got your way, right?
Yeah, he didn't appoint him to an office, though. He just got him a job in the company that his office was kind of overseeing. You know, it's, you know.
Right, exactly. And as I hear Joe Biden's son, here he's a cute kid. And you know, in his mid-30s or early 30s or such, making, you know, $80,000 a month, like $120,000 a month to sit on the board of this company.
Yeah.
Fuck you, bro. I want a fucking job like that. Why can't I get these fucking jobs? It seems like these fucking dumbasses get put into these positions like, I don't have any skills whatsoever, but my dad's Joe Biden. I'll sit here on your board and make you look good.
You want to
kiss the fuck, man?
You want to kiss my daddy's ass? Give me a job.
Yeah! American way is capitalism. Yeah!
This is capitalism. This is not fucking capitalism. It's fucking nepotism. Fuck.
Yeah, it's fucking killing me, man. It's fucking killing me. And so is hearing Joe Biden's voice, but I feel because we're moving forward with this and fucking CBS News and 60 Minutes were so conscientious to make like minute and a half long clips of Joe Biden saying retarded shit, I feel obligated to play this last clip. So this last clip is Joe Biden on Democratic debate performance. He's claiming that they are not debates. And this is, again, on CBS Evening News with his wife by his side. I believe she pipes up in this as well. So here we go. Without further ado, this jackassery.
Our 60 Minutes interview with Joe Biden, where he questioned the qualifications of President Trump's family to serve in his administration, has the Trump campaign firing back. The president's campaign manager took a swipe at Biden's son, saying in part, Hunter Biden's only qualification is being the son of Joe Biden. Tonight in our interview, Biden addresses criticism of his performance on the trail. How would you rate your performance in the debates?
A learning curve. By that, I mean they're not debates. They're one-minute assertions. When someone says, you know, you've done something awful that's not true, respond in 30 seconds. You know, it's all hard to do.
But you've made a number of gaffes in the debates.
Burn.
In the October debate, you confused Syria with Iraq.
Burn.
In the September debate, you conflated Iraq and Afghanistan.
Burn.
When you're watching these debates, do you worry about the gaffes?
No, I don't worry about the gaffes. And you know what? The American people know who Joe Biden is. I mean, if
he
speaks one word, they don't. That doesn't affect the way they're going to vote one way or the other.
That is correct, because they won't vote for you.
And wonder whether you'll be fast enough on your feet, quick enough to defend yourself against President Trump.
Well, what Democratic Party really trying to make the case is about age. And with age comes
generic
experience,
Obama-like
wisdom,
office.
And it makes the Republicans go
we
full
will have
retard.
Much more with Joe and Jill Biden Sunday night on 60 Minutes.
Shit. Yeah, exactly. So do you think that Sleepy Creepy Joe has a chance in hell?
I mean, I guess there's always a chance, but probably not. Probably not. He would lose.
Yeah, I hope to fucking God he does lose. That's fucking killing me. My brain is fucking dying, though, from listening to that much Joe Biden, to realize that like he's one of the front runners. And I don't know if it's the media lying or if people are that retarded. And that's what hurts me inside, truly deeply. Yeah. But I need to fucking cleanse my brain, and nothing better to do that than a nice, juicy Fox News clip.
Is it about white Obama still?
I don't know, man. I was thinking, you know, I always play these long-winded clips, you know, multiple of them. How about I give you a choice tonight? You pick one, we'll play that one, and then we'll fucking discuss it. Because I got some juicy ones. I got some juicy ones. So, like, first one I got here is Tucker. A plea to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's beautiful. And it touches on, like I said, Ocasio-Cortez being racist. I also have another Tucker clip that's not clear what high crimes Trump committed. It goes on to a little bit of what we're talking about tonight. And what we talk about often is that, okay, yeah, he's a scumbag, and every fucking person involved in politics pretty much is a scumbag. But what is he doing different other than not covering his tracks like the DNC and neo-Republicans do? I also have Steve Bannon sounds off about Russia probe impeachment inquiry, which we haven't really talked about impeachment a lot tonight, which I don't know. I think it's going to increase Trump's electability, to be honest with you. But what I find interesting about this clip is it's on Fox News, Fox and Friends, and I love fucking what's his name, Brian Kilmeade. I listen to his morning show, and this is even Fox and Friends is even fucking earlier than that. He's a fucking madman. Wakes up at like 2 a.m. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had him. You know, we haven't had his voice on the show. I was kind of thinking maybe that. Not as cool as our first clip. Still, as I'm looking at this, then I got Mike Rowe. Do you know who Mike Rowe is?
No.
Mike Rowe is the Dirty Jobs guy, Safety Third.
Yeah. I remember that guy.
Yeah, yeah, so he's on Fox and Friends talking 2020 Dems, wealth tax plans, and his new book. We could skip over the new book shit. And then lastly, I got this commentary piece from some Fox talking head that reacts to the FBI being accused of manipulating Finn's record, which we could go into a little bit too. So what do you say? We can play one or two of these clips. They're like 5 minute clips, 4 or 5 minute clips. But which one do you want to hear first, huh, Crafter?
I want to hear some impeachment.
You want to hear some impeachment? Okay, this is an interesting clip. So Steve Bannon sounds off about Russia probe and impeachment. And he talks about why – what's interesting about this clip is his perspective on Ukraine and how the Dems are actually tied up in Ukraine. And what Trump is doing is more helping Russia, and that's why the whole Russia narrative. So without further – wait, hold up. Let me copy this shit. Fuck, I forgot. I'm not ready. Fucking, I remember seeing NoFX live once. And fucking the guitarist, what's his name?
Butthole.
Yeah, Butthole. He wasn't ready. So this is fucking, oh wait, did I do the wrong one? I did almost. I was going to play the micro clip. That would have fucked up the world. But I digress. We need the Steve Bannon clip, bitches. Steve Bannon is actually a morning host, radio host, kind of like Rush Limbaugh and shit. He's like Alex Jones without the conspiracy. Here we go. Steve Bannon sounds off about Russia probe impeachment inquiry on Fox and Friends with Brian Kilmeade.
Russians don't want me to be president, and Trump doesn't want me to be the nominee.
Oh, here's Biden.
Things that have come across very, very clearly.
This is Biden talking about president being an idiot.
Russian interference is a hoax.
He's an idiot in terms of saying that. Everybody knows this.
Wow. A new interview. Joe Biden went after President Trump over the Russian probe. Meanwhile, former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon is the executive producer of the new docudrama Claws of the Red Dragon and now has a new radio show that focuses on impeachment, and it's growing rapidly. Steve Bannon, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Your reaction to his 60-minute interview last night?
Look, this is the same thing the Democrats have been doing since President Trump won in November of 2016. It's a nullification project, trying to delegitimize him and nullify his presidency. The Russia thing's a hoax. It was proven in the Mueller investigation. No collusion, no Russian involvement. Even Clapper said, I think it was 100,000 Facebook ads. This thing's a non-event. This is just the Democrats over and over again trying to nullify the 2016 election.
Do you have a problem with his son serving on the Burisma board, or you think that's a rabbit hole?
No. I think it's crucial. I think worse is China. Look, they took over $1 billion from China. I think Joe Biden is totally compromised by China. But I think people understand it. I think the Ukraine situation is the same thing. I think his reason last night was terrible. Oh, I had nothing to do with it. He was already on the board. The son got in the Navy with no expertise because of Joe Biden. He got on the board because of connections with Joe Biden. His whole career is around having access to Joe Biden, political corruption.
Let's move on. Adam Schiff yesterday was talking about where he's going with impeachment. He's talking about looking at Mulvaney, looking at Pompeo, maybe even bringing in Rudy Giuliani. Here he is on investigating the investigators. Instead of looking at what they're looking at, he says it's a plot and a plan.
That Bill Barr, on the president's behalf, is weaponizing the Justice Department to go after the president's enemies. You don't seek to just prosecute the losing side, but this is what Bill Barr is seeking to do He is demonstrating once again that he is merely a tool of the president, the president's hand, not the representative of the American people.
But the
you buying that?
Listen, they love the Justice Department when it's going after President Trump's people. This is
I'm
a U.S.
I'm
attorney
it.
Up in Connecticut that's doing an investigation.
Really. Like the baby
now it's
dinosaurs.
In a criminal process. I think guys like
he does!
And Clapper ought to lawyer up because right now you've got a U.S. attorney.
Not the mama.
Totally even-handed that's going to go investigate this thing. And this is something they had subpoenas issued by the House Intelligence Committee back in 2017, 2018 to get this information. Crime. Now we're going to see it. And this is Schiff just trying to this is a smokescreen from Adam Schiff. Let the Justice Department and let the U.S. attorney go after this information.
That is so true.
Investigation.
You hopped on with the president. You helped him win the presidency when a time in which everyone thought he was ready to go into a ditch.
I'm his top student, as he says. I'm his number one student. Proud to be his number one student.
You got a Wall Street background as well as a military
Trump
background.
Trump hates Brian Kilmeade.
Experience. You set up this impeachment thing not to get ratings to grow stations because you want to stay ahead of the curve.
The whole thing with all of them.
So
right
now, this week, Pompeo,
how do you know?
And Mulvaney are on deck, perhaps, to go and talk in front of this committee.
Right.
What does that mean? Will they do it?
Well, listen, this is, I think you saw with Kupperman. They're going to start asking. And I don't understand why, you know, they put out, Scipione, Pat put out this letter a couple weeks ago to say no more information and no more people going forward. I don't know why that hasn't been enforced. I think it will start to be enforced this week. You know, this situation right now is about precedent, it's about policy, and it's about process. You had David Rifkin in the Wall Street Journal and Elizabeth Price Foley had a great article that said until they have a full vote of the House, this is a completely illegitimate constitutional process. And I think this thing ought to be fought. I think it ought to be fought all the way up to the Supreme Court. And what you're seeing is this just a policy difference. The unelected people that were in there, the State Department and Defense Department people, have a difference in philosophy just like they have in Syria in Iraq to the Trump presidency. This is a difference in policy. This is the kind of normal course of business, I think, of things that happen every day. And I think you should get more information as this becomes, as this process becomes more visible. You're going to see that this is much ado about nothing. This is Schiff and a radical group of Democrats that are throwing the country into a constitutional crisis over the Christmas holidays. We're hurtling towards a constitutional crisis. That's the reason I set up this War Room Impeachment, which is a podcast and a website, just to get all this information out there so the president's friends and allies in the grassroots can see what a farce this is.
Do you think the president has responded in an organized, effective way to push back on the narrative Democrats are pushing?
Look, the president, you saw yesterday, the president's got a day job. It's being commander-in-chief and president of the United States. You know, he's negotiating with the Chinese. He's looking what to do in Syria and the Middle East, defending Saudi Arabia. He's going after, you know, al-Baghdadi and ISIS to destroy the physical caliphate. He's busy doing his job as president of the United States. I think the White House has probably a different strategy this week. I think the campaign, they both have terrific people. You have outside groups like ourselves who are volunteers, who are people that supported the president that are now going to get on point. I got to tell you, every witness, we're going to review every witness's background. We're going to contest all the information we're seeing. We're just going to sit there and fight these selective leaks that have come out. Nancy Pelosi is running political warfare. This is a sophisticated political disinformation campaign, and it needs to be combated by somebody. I think the outside groups are probably the best to do this. We're going to be there to defend the president, his presidency, in his actions.
All right, Steve Bannon still working hard behind the scenes for the cause in which he supports.
A lot to unpack there. But what?
A lot to take in. Wow.
Indeed. But what do you think? Has it been business as usual? Is this just like a policy thing? Like, is this a difference in opinion as far as like world, the world affairs and the world stage is being handled, or is this something deeper seated?
I mean, George W. Bush walks into an arena and people applaud him and like, "Hello, Mr. President." You know,
really, who the fuck panders to him, man?
I mean, everyone likes the guy now. All of a sudden, I mean, he started wars that killed a bunch of people, and especially if you talk about the Iraq War, we never had intelligence to really do it. He really pushed for it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things really wrong there, and if we look at Trump's presidency compared to that, like any kind of war action. Definitely business as usual. If we look at, like, you know, holding out, you know, funds to get a country in line with your political ideals, I mean, yes, that is business as usual as well. I mean, it's so in a way, it's almost a, like saying it's a non-event. It's not something drastically different. I mean, even the acts of personally, you know, making yourself wealth out of your position. Obviously, you know, how all ex-presidents are just loaded. It doesn't seem that that was out of the question either. I mean, anybody who's entered Congress as under a millionaire leaves over a millionaire. I mean, all of these politicians are benefiting themselves, be it from, you know, granting projects to their home states where their families have companies there, or getting direct kickbacks, or, you know, just being able to fund their lives through their campaign funds. I mean, it's just a weird lifestyle as a politician compared to a normal, you know, working person.
What would be the benefit of impeachment at this point?
The benefit, you get Mike Pence as president, which could be scarier. Maybe not as verbal on Twitter or as, you know, boisterous, but the policy would change nothing. So I don't see really the end game besides just trying to get rid of Orange Man.
Orange Man bad. Orange Man bad.
Because it's not like you're removing the Republicans from office by impeaching Trump. You know, Mike Pence would become president of the United States, unless you can prove he did something illegal as well.
I doubt it. He fucking probably squeaks when he walks. I
mean, he's not come up in any of these discussions at all. He's not on the phone calls. He wasn't in the fucking room. He probably wasn't even in Washington. I mean, they're keeping this guy the cleanest motherfucker out there. So, I mean, you know.
I guess that's true. He definitely does come forth and stick up for the president. There is that.
Yeah. But you don't
guilty
see
by
him
association.
Yeah,
you know?
You don't see him on any of these calls.
That is very true. You don't. You more hear about him associated with Rudy Giuliani, honestly. So what do you say, Tucker clip?
Okay, yeah.
I just have to, like, I this clip is just fucking too amazing not to play. And all the clips I have tonight are amazing. Like this one with Mike Rowe is really good. It has just a really good message. I always think it's really good for, you know, a younger audience to hear things like fucking pick your fucking your life up by the bootstraps and do shit. But this is more like professional wrestling, fucking TMZ style fucking news reporting. So let's play some Tucker. This is his plea to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And very eloquent in what he says, and definitely not insulting either. Here we go.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the youngest member of Congress. She turned 30 just a couple of weeks ago. She's barely old enough to rent a car. And yet already she's one of the most powerful politicians in America. 18 months ago, nobody in Washington had heard of the Green New Deal. Today, it's at the very center of the Democratic agenda. Ocasio-Cortez did that. So there's a reason she's famous. It's not just hype. She's impressive in a lot of ways. And even if you disagree with her, you ought to admit that. She's legitimately tough, for one thing. Strength is a prerequisite for success in politics, as in life. Ocasio-Cortez is. She's one of the only Democrats in the House who's totally unintimidated by Nancy Pelosi. When she got to Washington, party bosses tried to make her moderate her views for public consumption, but she refused. Unlike most members of Congress, Ocasio-Cortez actually believes most of what she says. She understands that something profound has gone wrong in America. The country is dangerously unequal. Fixing that will require going to war with the entrenched establishment, which is currently profiting from the status quo. Ocasio-Cortez is happy to do that. When Amazon decided to demand subsidies in order to come to New York, she was one of the very few who asked why we would send tax dollars to the world's richest man. When all the fashionable people in her party decided that Elizabeth Warren should be the nominee, Ocasio-Cortez endorsed Bernie. She's an independent spirit, one of the very few in Washington, and it's easy to see why young people listen to her. And in the end, that is the problem with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's not her economic views, the ones that get all the attention. Yes, she's a wild-eyed left-winger who's pushing socialism on the country. Her ideas may be stupid and wrong. We think they are. But they're still, undeniably, ideas. You could debate them. We often do. The problem is the rest of what she says. There's a darker side to Ocasio-Cortez, and it has nothing to do with the Green New Deal.
Or her skin color.
She's an apologetic bigot, yeah, someone who attacks others for the way they were born. There's nothing legitimate about that. You can't debate bigotry. It's pure poison. It's terrifying to think that someone who spews open racism has become a role model for our young people, but that is exactly what has happened. And it's been happening since Ocasio-Cortez arrived on the public stage. During her first run for Congress last year, Ocasio-Cortez suggested that the incumbent who held the seat didn't deserve to be in Congress because he was the wrong race. By election day, her opponent was literally apologizing for his own skin color. When he accused Ocasio-Cortez of making the election about race, she didn't run from it. Quote, it is about race, end quote. Not so long ago, a campaign like that would have been considered deeply immoral. The press would have hounded Ocasio-Cortez until she apologized or dropped out, but not anymore. A ruling class no longer recognizes universal standards of any kind. Racism, they've decided, cuts only one way. So they ignored Ocasio-Cortez's race baiting, and she got elected. Over time, like any untreated virus, her bigotry grew more inflamed. Here was Ocasio-Cortez just last week in a public hearing explaining that actually global climate change is the fault of a specific racial group. Watch.
Do we see largely that it's the global South and communities of color that may be bearing the brunt of the initial havoc from climate change?
Without a doubt, without a doubt.
And in terms of that wealth, the people who are producing climate change, the folks that are responsible for the largest amount of emissions or communities or corporations, they tend to be predominantly white, correct?
Yes, and every study backs that up.
Producing climate change, end quote. That's right. Those people, the ones destroying the
earth. I thought you'd like that, Crafter.
Driving entire species to extinction, killing children. Ever notice how all those people look alike? They've got something in common, don't they? That's right. They're the same color. That's what she's saying. Standards have changed so much that it's hard to say something genuinely shocking in this country anymore. But that qualifies. For all the hysteria that you hear about how the president is a racist, Donald Trump has never said anything close to that. Nothing close to as bigoted and vicious as that. The people wrecking the world
grab him by the pussy.
One race? Who talks like that? In fact, it's hard to think of anyone in American life saying anything that disgusting and foolish and dangerous. If so, exactly what would it be? And yet, and here's the amazing part, nobody seemed to even notice when Ocasio-Cortez said that in the middle of a congressional hearing. Our rulers acted like it was all totally normal, because increasingly for them, it is normal. This is an ominous development for this country. Talk like this will destroy us. It has come close before, as you know. It's possible that Ocasio-Cortez doesn't really know what she's saying. You'd like to think that she doesn't. Maybe she's just young and lacking wisdom and can't hear herself. The problem is that others can hear her clearly. Every time she encourages her followers to hate and distrust other people based on their race, some of them will. And over time, this is how countries fall apart. So going forward, here's a plea to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Keep saying what you think is true. Keep taking jabs at the establishment in Washington. Even those of us who disagree with you will cheer you on. But my gosh, please, for the sake of the country and the children you don't yet have, please stop attacking people for the color of their skin. They can't change who they are, and neither can you. We all have to live here together anyway, and we won't be able to if you keep this up.
Oh, fucking mic drop, Tucker Carlson. What do you think?
Yeah, he had very good points. But the fact that the statement he brought up was just, you know, that she said the statement that, you know, a race of people is more responsible for pollution and climate change than the other. And I guess that statement could be taken as fact. The problem comes in, what is her solution for that? Does she think getting rid of that race would be a solution? Does she think a different race could figure out how to make cleaner oil or cleaner gasoline or cleaner landfills? I mean, what is the solution to this
problem?
Does
she think that one race should be taxed more than another?
Like, I don't know. But I mean, it's a weird way of reintroducing the ideas of segregation, when you put it that way. You know, that people are separate and they have, you know, different standards of life. And
to me, it feels like it's just a flip-flop of the same ignorance. You know, it infected one brain and, you know, one group of people, and now it's kind of moving like a virus.
Yeah, it's like, it's not solution-based thinking, it's blame-based thinking. Who can we blame for this problem, not what can we do to solve this problem?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's literally what's fucking going on, is that throughout history, we have not learned our lesson. We do this reactionary thing against a group, and it just perpetuates that ignorance into fucking infinity. Blows my mind. But we spread the ignorance here tonight and every night. At least we do it before and after the show. Yeah. With our intro and outro music, pumping the fucking most ignorant rap straight off the screet. The most intelligible, the most emo, and the most drug-filled mumble rap ever you could hear in your life. It makes me feel good inside. What doesn't make me feel good inside is fucking the bullshit going on with the government trying to fucking take away all my rights. Even here in New Mexico, man, fucking blows my mind with the whole the gun buyback thing. And like, if you look at national stats on gun killing, it's like you want to try to ban like the AR-15 and like AK-47 and rifles and things like that. Why aren't we looking, you know, if you're going to be of that mind, why aren't you looking at like the real problem? You know, wouldn't that be the fucking the handguns? I mean, I bet if you looked at a stat right now, it'd be like 50% of all murders, 60% of all murders were done with a handgun.
I mean, handgun crimes are not the epidemic that the media says they are. I mean, there's probably,
but the media doesn't talk about handguns, man. They talk about fucking AR-15s and AK-40, mostly AR-15s.
It's definitely line of bullshit trying to get away the capable weapons to defend from a socialist takeover.
That's what I feel like. Recently, Elizabeth Warren, she's talking about like banning things like suppressors and armor piercing rounds. These are, and then like fucking Beto, Robert Francis O'Rourke, he fucking comes out and says, hell yeah, we're going to take your AR-15. Hell yeah, we're going to take your AK-47. These are weapons of war, right? And there's one little inkling, the blatant truth of, yes, this is our intention to take your junk. Your guns, but there's that other inkling of truth in there that is kind of skipped over, is that these are weapons of war. Going back to what the Second Amendment really truly represents, and that's protecting yourself as a sovereign citizen against a tyrannical government.
Yes, and any weird misinterpretation that is way off. I mean, the country is based on, you should have the right to have weapons in case a government, which they dealt with being Britain, becoming tyrannical and, killing people without reason. Demanding taxes without representation. I mean, not having a say in how you're being governed or how your local, township is laws are presented. And we're running into those problems again with the over, engineering of law and the over engineering of federal regulation. I mean, it's like the whole idea was so the people would have the weapons to defend themselves when a government does this to them. In the exact British example. This wasn't them coming over and, slaughtering everybody they see. It didn't have to get to that far of a point. It just got to a point where they felt abused. It's weird that the standard has been shifted. Like, the goalposts have been pushed back to what is the standard for revolution.
Mm-hmm. When so many other countries are enacting this revolution in a peaceful manner, it feels like we're behind the curve a bit. Also, speaking of revolution, shout out to my people out in fucking Hong Kong right now, holding it down for freedom.
Free Hong Kong.
Free Hong Kong all day.
Taiwan, number one. Fuck China.
Fuck China. Yeah. And you guys just realize out there, you keep doing what you're doing. And that's the crazy thing about what's going on over there, is if you guys keep protesting it, you're going to bring down the Hong Kong economy. It's going to cause a recession, but that recession will cripple China. And that's the vast reality of it. These people care so much about their freedom and democracy and, true human values, that they're willing to collapse their own fucking economy, their own government to do so.
But here, to you guys. Communism. I thought everyone would get a share anyway, right? Everyone's equal. It's the workers' party, right? Everyone paid for everyone. I thought it was communism. What the fuck happened, China? Fucking what the fuck?
Yeah, China did the same thing that every other fucking country did, and that's they allowed their top echelon fucking Illuminati people to take over the government, and it became less about the actual concept of... This is why communism, socialism doesn't work, because it always has to be, air quotes here, ruled by someone. And that ruler ends up turning it into, because he has full advantage, she has full advantage, and turns it into this way to exploit people, human suffering. This is why fuck China. I've heard so many fucking stories about how people are abused as workers there. And fuck the NBA. You want to come out and fucking say, oh yeah, it's more complicated than that, fucking LeBron saying, you know, fucking you can't just talk shit without knowing what you're talking about. Yeah, fucking we know what you're talking about. You trying to make money, bitch? And then fucking Dennis Rodman, I used to have a lot of respect for him, but he went on Tucker Carlson and tried to talk shit like fucking, oh, you know, he just, LeBron isn't, he's not into politics. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't privy to the situation. He wasn't, you know, basketball players should just stick to basketball. You know what I mean?
Come
fuck
on,
you,
dog,
dude.
Let me make some money, dog.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the most racist thing I've ever done right there.
Yeah. Congratulations. Also, shout out to Alex Jones. If you ever want to come on the show, please, please, for the love of God, you would help our ratings so, so very much. and if you're watching for the first time, please, you know, check us out. Again, we're here every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Mountain Daylight Savings Time. Pretty soon it's going to be Mountain Standard Time? I don't know. We'll figure that shit out. Regardless, we're going to bring you out with some of the most fucking ignorant shit you've ever heard in your fucking life. It makes me feel good that we're pumping this into your ear holes as we speak. Egypt, a lot of shit's going down there too. You guys are fucking straight up bisexual, fuck around. Syrians, fucking, you might be transsexual, but fucking keep those Kurds safe. Shout out to all my Kurds out there as well. Fucking, Palestine, you know you straight as fuck. You know you straight as fuck. And there could be one thing said at the end of every night, and that is, the gay is real. Peace, y'all. Thank y'all for hanging out. Again, we are verbose.xyz. Check out our website. Check out what we do. We're here every week, Wednesday. Fucking love you very much. Happy Halloweener. Halloweener to all of you. Enjoy the ignorance. Peace. Deuces. No time for gibberish. All the critics hearing this. All the bitches lipstick. And her pussy slippery. I can call a troop. Go by the name of Duke. Can't have a kangaroo. I can send them moves. Woo. Niggas stole a chain, but I ain't worried, fool. I'ma keep on spinning till they tell me who. Ooh, woo. Time is peekaboo. Ooh, woo. I done fought the crew. Ooh, woo. I done did the robbing. I done did the jacking. Now I'm full rapping. I put on my brothers. I put on my bitch. Had to wear the dress, cause I had a stick. You know where the bag at, tell me where it is. I came from rats, the riches on the shit. I can no longer disguise a bitch, cause I'm rich. I got cars galore, bitch, cause I'm rich. I escaped everyone in the list, cause I'm supposed to be rich. I don't care about no cop, I'm telling you just how it is. I don't gotta throw you shit like Kaepernick. Nah. I got seven bitches with me, Kaepernick. Yeah, R.I.P. Nipsey, I can tell you how to get rich. I can tell you how to die or how to live in this bitch. I can tell you how to talk the most impeccable shit. I can show you how to walk like you got decimals, bitch. Show you how I can get the top from all the top 10 bitches. I got white Adderalls and I have my ceiling. I got lights on, baby, I got mouse in this bitch. No flat zone, caught you like your mouse in this bitch. Grown tycoon and I took some losses, you bitch. I'm a boss, but I don't like to take a loss in this bitch. Such a player, but I can't get caught on all of my bitches. I got layers, I got millions, I got all type of billions. Fuck around and add a pussy nigga out like Lennon. Last nigga tried me, almost got popped in Linux. Ask the cops, ask the detectives, they know all the business. Ask the cops and the detectives of all the jurisdictions. Ask the kids at school who ambition all the missions. Gave the lawyer close to 2 mil, he handled all the killings. I don't know and I don't wanna know who Flodge been is. I don't know what's going with bro, I think they all spilling. We don't speak about shit on West, it's all my business. We known to kill the biggest cats of all kitties. Ooh, ooh, diamonds peekaboo. Ooh, ooh, I done fought the crew. Ooh, ooh, I done did the robbing. I done did the jacking. Now I'm full rapping. I put on my brothers. I put on my bitch. Had to wear the dress, cause I had a stick. You know where the bag at, tell me where it is. I came from rats, the riches on the shit. I can no longer disguise a bitch, cause I'm rich. I got cars galore, little bitch, cause I'm rich. I escaped everyone in the list, cause I'm supposed to be rich. I don't care about no cop, I'm telling you just how it is.